Blog Talk Radio. Are you showing up during this difficult time? Let's shape up and win together. Welcome to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for you. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, Master Motivator, and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. You see, each week we come together faithfully to engage on life's highway, where I believe we truly are on a divine journey in which God is the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you tuning in for this time of empowerment coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose to fulfill your destiny. On Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on two formats of empowerment that we bring you each and every week. We have the blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or their areas of expertise, and our Shape Up series. Our Shape Up series has been designed to support you on your journey to win personally and professionally so that you may be more equipped to work it now. You may be thinking, Coach Adams, what am I working? Well, you're asking some great questions on a Motivational Monday, and I feel the vibrations. You're working your vision so that you can achieve your goals and ultimately live out your dreams. Each episode of Motivational Monday is truly rich and insightful. I want to encourage you to take advantage of our on-demand library. If you have missed any of our past show installments, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available for your convenience online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmediaforyou. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia, the number four and the letter U. Each installment of Motivational Mondays is truly empowering. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I will share with our in-studio guests for about 40 minutes into today's programming around today's subject. And then we will open up our program for your audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and your comments. This lends to an interactive environment that's rich, that we truly love, and we encourage you, Our global listening audience, don't be shy, chime right on in at the appropriate time. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays, we have an all-star in-studio guest joining us in the virtual boardroom that I'm really excited about. But before we bring our guest in, we want you to help us out with expanding our outreach. So we ask that you take a quick moment, let those social media juices begin to flow right on someone's Facebook wall, send a tweet, a text, a DM, go old school, send a text, send an email, send a message in the bottle of carrier pigeon. Bottom line, I think you get it, our global listening audience. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast. We extend our gracious, heartfelt thanks in advance for your support with expanding our outreach. If you don't already have your pens, notepads, and tablets, your iPads, your laptops, desktops available, you definitely want to grab them. Why? Because on today's installment of Motivational Mondays, we're talking about leadership that's relevant. You know, interestingly enough, on last week's installment, we talked about it's time to emerge and rise up. And I think it's so perfect that this is really a great follow-up to this topic of it's time to emerge. So if you missed it, guess what? It's available for you on our archives, on demand in our video library, our on-demand library. But when we look at and we talk about relevance, relevance is having significance. It's connected with what is happening or being discussed. It's meaningful or purposeful in a current society or culture. And what I love about our in-studio guest, our grassroots activist, community leader, advocate, and pastor, Les Simmons, candidate for Sacramento City Council District 8, will be sharing some insight on relevance and what does it mean to be leading and leading in a way that's relevant for these times. I want our global listening audience to join me virtually while we welcome and invite into the virtual boardroom for the very first time my spiritual brother, Les Emmons of South Sacramento Christian Center. Les, thank you for being here.
It is so welcome. Thank you, Coach Adams, for the opportunity to be in your virtual space and to have some time just to have a dialogue around how we are showing up in this moment that we find ourselves in, that in the history and probably in our lifetime, we've never experienced it. And as I checked in with family and friends, they've never experienced the kind of the moment that we are currently in as well. So I'm excited to have this time and this dialogue with you. And hopefully, you know, our leadership style, even on this call, on this virtual time together, could really unpack some tools and some ideas. And we can, as they say, iron sharpens iron. I'm already lifted just by your opener. So let me just say that again. I'm already lifted just by your opener already. So thank you for all you do to just ensure that folks have something they can stand on, something they can count on that's lifting, that's encouraging, and that's motivating.
Wow. Well, I thank you so much for that, and I truly appreciate it. And, you know, the feelings are so mutual. I am excited about this dialogue that we will have and just the various areas of what we will discuss around today's subject of leading and leadership that's truly relevant. But, you know, I gave your wonderful brief. Now, obviously, you have far greater accolades than what was mentioned, but we just gave our audience a little taste, a little snapshot. And I always love to ask my in-studio guests, you know, beyond your bio, so they can get another layer of who the individual is. Who is Les Simmons? If you were to describe you, who would you say you are?
Right. Well, thank you. Well, first off, I am married to Katrina Simmons. I've been married going on 19 years this in August coming up. We've actually met in the third grade in elementary school, and we used to play in the sandbox together, right? And her parents worked in the community together. Her mom and my mom owned a beauty salon and beauty supply store right next door to each other. And then next thing you know, they start going to the church. It took me till after college to really see that she was my wife and build up the courage to take her out on a date. But I finally did, and here we are 19 years later and three kids later. I have one son that just graduated from high school, and he'll be off to college in some way, shape, or form, however that is to be interpreted in this COVID experience. And he got accepted into a university. I have a daughter, Ania Simmons, and she is a 4.0 student, never got a below an A in any of her grades, just an amazing young lady. And then my 10-year-old, Cadence, just an amazing kid. I'm a pastor. I'm actually a fourth-generation pastor on both sides of my family. I just want to pay respect to Dad and Mom Simmons, who have allowed me to stand on their shoulders as I'm becoming who I am today. And a community leader. They affectionately call me kind of Les Simmons in the community. I was like, drop the titles and just call me Les. And it's been an amazing opportunity, an amazing experience that I get to be the pastor of a great church, South Sacramento Christian Center, and one of the founders and directors of the Simmons Center, named in honor of my dad and mom Simmons. And it was historically an old skating ring, which we reconverted back to a skating ring. And 2 years ago, the Sacramento Kings weighed in, and they partnered with us and actually donated an NBA floor to it. So we have two NBA floors in the city of Sacramento, one at the Golden One Center that the Kings play on, and one at our gym in South Sacramento. And so I just, you know, really look forward to the call. And that's a little bit about Les Simmons, who I am. I love people. I love God. Those two things, loving God and love people. We get those right, we could do a lot of work for the kingdom.
And I absolutely love that. And, of course, Mom and Dad Simmons hold an extra special place in my heart. And I'm telling you, when we get beyond social distancing, I need to grab my roller skate and get on the road and head on over, because I
Come
do
on,
like
man.
To skate, and I do have my own skate. So I look forward
to enjoying.
Well,
you will
enjoying.
Be able to skate. You will be able to skate in one of the nicest skating floors around. It's brand new floor, brand new skates. Before COVID hit, we had just installed all of our new lighting for it, and we're working on all of our new sound. So when we reopen after kind of the COVID closure, it will be just, you know, grade A, top-notch facility that rivals any facility around in some of our other communities. This one will be really, really nice, something that our community will be very proud of.
I'm sure, and I can't wait. Roll bounce, you got me excited. Will you
come
help
on
us
now?
As we, I know, right? As we get into today's topic, leadership that's relevant. You know, for me, it's so hard to believe that, you know, we're already halfway through this year, and wow, what a first start of this year we have had. It has been laced with difficulties.
Right.
We've had so many different situations that have arisen at the start of this
right.
year of 2020. And when you think about leadership that's relevant, I'm interested to hearing, because, of course, you're a pastor. Pastors and churches have had to adjust in how they show up in the community because of COVID-19 and the coronavirus, not able to assemble in the season of quarantine, and just all of these various layers. So when you think about relevance, what does that look like for you and your community and your leadership?
Right, right. Well, you framed this in this really powerful way, especially related to all of what we have already dealt with, and we're just halfway into 2020, which I strongly believe that this amount of challenge produces a resilience for what will come next. We don't go through things like we're going through right now as a nation, as a world, as a culture, as the body of Christ, without, if we lean into this, without some measurable growth. And I am definitely looking forward to that measurable growth, that harvest that comes as a result of the seeds sown in this moment of opportunity that is very challenging, to say the least. When COVID hit kind of big in the U.S. and in our community here in Northern California, I actually had just landed on a trip overseas to get a quick break because it was after the March primary and my election process. And so my wife and I had been on this campaign trail for, I mean, a sustained time, and we hadn't had a day off, hadn't had any break, and we knew we needed a break. And so as we were landing and getting into our hotel, all of the news about COVID began to unfold, and the challenges around gatherings, and then the school closures. And we quickly, after really just hearing from God and connecting and trying to understand where we needed to be, we canceled our trip, and we were in Hawaii. So it's not just any trip. We were in Hawaii. We canceled the trip, got on a flight, and ran back home because, for one, we knew we needed to make sure our kids and our family were stable and turning the corner. For two, we needed to make sure our church was stable and turning the corner. And then three, we needed to make sure our community was stable and turning the corner. I strongly believe that leadership that's relevant has the ability to take a change order, accept it, and move on it in a way that addresses the current need, current situation. I knew my kids needed to feel the warmth and the protection of their parents. I knew our church needed to have direct leadership in how to navigate in changing the church. And we can talk about this some more, but changing the church from a place where we normally assemble. And mind you, we have 8:30 service, 10:30 service, 2 o'clock service, 4 o'clock service, all on a Sunday, Saturdays, midweek Bible studies, practices, multiple staff. We needed to make sure that the church was turning the corner. And then the same week that the pandemic hit, one of the major grocery stores in our area, right around the corner, which serves, you know, thousands of people, had closed. We knew that there was going to become a food desert, is what we call it. It was already challenges around food, and it had become a fast food alley, is what they call it. So we knew we had to quickly have some organization and formation around making sure that Sacramentans, South Sacramento folks, had enough food to eat during this time, as we've seen now has been one of the most biggest times of unemployment in our history. And that's what leadership does. It leans into the moment. It doesn't have to have the answers, but leaders work to get the answers.
Oh, and that is so key, Les. You really said some great richness in that. And one of the things that I wanted to honor you for is truly we're hearing the mind of a forward thinker. And as you said, leaning into the moment. And I really love how you kind of framed around leadership that's relevant, that it takes, you know, what it's presented this time of change, brings order to it, accepts it, and then moves on, moves through it. And clearly with what you've shared, you have done that so successfully. And we're still, things are still unfolding. And I love as well that you said that this is about a moment of change produces resilience and measurable growth. Because that is something that's so key, that if we don't grow through the circumstances, and we'll see many that won't, we'll come out bitter. But if we can grow through it, we're going to come out better. And speaking of coming out better, if COVID and the coronavirus wasn't enough, we've had a number of different news headlines that have gotten us to another place in the midst of this COVID-19 and the pandemic and the coronavirus. We had Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. Mm-hmm. Yes, and now, of course, George Floyd. What effect have you seen in your region around some of these dynamics that we're facing in the midst of still recovering from this pandemic?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, Coach Adams, that I think we have to pay respects to Breonna Taylor that was killed in her home by law enforcement and those that are hired to protect and serve. And then we have Ahmaud Arbery jogging and in his own community shot and killed as a result of racism that we've been dealing with for hundreds of years in this country, right? And then going back to George Floyd, who has the death of George Floyd and those 8 minutes that that officer kept his knee on his neck, man, and just hearing the sound of him crying out. And at one moment, he even cried out for his mom and cried out for help. I just think his death and those that were the two others we named have galvanized our nation and our world, and we need to heed this. I was with a grandmother on a Zoom conference call, quite like most of us have probably been on hundreds of calls, Zoom calls a week, right? But she was saying, she said, Les, you know, I'm sheltered in place with my grandkids. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I'm scared for them because I went through what we are dealing with police brutality and racism in the civil rights movement in the 60s. And here we are in 2020, and we're still dealing with it. And this is what she said. I cannot fail this generation. The changes that we did not make then, we cannot afford not to make them now. And that's what is driving me. I think the moment that's in front of us is one of the biggest moments of reform that we've ever seen and that we have the ability to make happen, both with dismantling systematic racism, systemic racism, as well as reforming law enforcement entities around the nation. I also think that it is very, what's the right word for this? It's very challenging to be in this space when we talk about COVID-19 and the disproportionate impact of the virus on Black and Brown communities, let alone being sheltered, being essential workers in most cases, and then third, in addressing police brutality. I think what we are seeing a manifestation of in our streets with actions and protests is a cry out for change. And I think as pastors, leaders, business folks, anyone that's listening, the moment we find ourselves in, there are multiple plugins to respond, whether it's at a protest line, whether you're a business owner and you're doing some self-reflection on how these things play out in the systems and governing policies and procedures that you have, levels of promotion that you have, whatever the case. I think I'm asking God, you know, help me see, help me hear, and help me move so I can make the maximum change for this generation. So I will make a better society for my son, Les Jr., for my daughter, Ania Simmons, for my third young boy, Caden Simmons. And I think we have to do that. That's what leaders do. They don't avoid confrontation. They don't avoid, challenges. They figure out what is their part to make the change that needs to happen.
And I love that. And, you know, that is truly key, that we have to figure out what can I do to be a part of the change, not just focusing in on obviously what's obvious and what's happening, but how can I, as a leader, those that are under my leadership in navigating through the difficulties, all of the various things that we spoke about. And I know that specifically concerning COVID-19, you all are doing some phenomenal things as a church body to really serve your community. What would you say are some of the things that you're doing? I know you made the news today as well. There's so much going on, and your leadership is really emerging and rising up, and it's so needful at this time for this change and reform to happen. So share with us some of the things that you have been doing to really be a support to your community in this season.
Right, right. Well, quite like most, churches and pastors, they quickly had to maneuver from having in-person services, prayer group meetings, and office administration, and close the doors. And so we quickly kind of branded this whole, hashtag Church Without Walls acronym or hashtag, because we had already been that as well. Our church has been one that has shown up in the streets, shown up around community violence, shown up around, multiple issues within our community with that trusted entity. And in many cases, churches are that kind of embassy, that trusted entity within a community that brings people together, that really brings resources and support, a source of healing. So we quickly closed those doors and really went all the way virtual. I'm talking about every service, every prayer group meeting, and ensuring those that were maybe not used to using technology for a prayer group meeting. Let's just say, for instance, we had, I call her Mother Lula, right? Everybody has a Mother Martha or Mother Lula in their church, and they may be in their mid-60s, maybe 70s. We quickly made sure that our staff were going to be able to work off-site and support the Mother Lulas that were leading a small group prayer meeting or small group Bible study and do it virtually. So as many of folks probably listen and have done Zoom calls, we ensure every aspect of every part of the ministry will continue to happen. Our youth ministry meets virtually. Our children's church has their own call, story time with Pastor Deborah. There are multiple different things we're doing. Now, with that being said, we also knew that ministry still needed to happen. As I said before, it's a food desert, a grocery store closed, that was a major kind of entity within the community. We had been serving food about 1,000 people a month. It was a good number of people, but we knew with COVID, there was going to need to scale it up and to serve, a couple of thousand people a week. Alongside of that, it takes resources to do that. It takes staffing to do that. We quickly set aside some resources and hired new staff just to facilitate serving food. We took the chairs out of one of our sanctuaries. We have a sanctuary, two sanctuaries within the facility. One is a pretty large sanctuary. The other seats a couple of hundred people. We took everything out. We went and bought commercial refrigerators, commercial tables, and we moved our food locker. It's not really a locker. It was pretty big. We moved our food locker into the sanctuary And we quickly had a food distribution center that we have served now 2,000 plus people every single week, multiple staff helping to facilitate that. We brought some more staff online for that as well, too. We partnered with some philanthropic partners to help with some funding mechanisms. And let me just say this to you, Coach Adams. We decided we wouldn't take one offering for this, that we would believe God, that our partners, our friends, the city, the county, those that heard about it would contribute to make this happen. And to this day, since we started the first week in March serving those bigger numbers, we've been able to continue it in, on those levels, serving anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 people a week. We also knew, because of COVID, those that were in the vulnerable population, 65 and above, didn't need to come out of their homes. So we started a delivery service, a call line that a person could call in, give us their address if they lived in a five-mile radius of the church, and we would deliver food for them. So we deliver up to, at this point, it's a little over 100 boxes of food to folks that are 65 every single week, and gift cards to other grocery stores that may be able to provide something that we haven't provided. In addition to that, our staff, some of our staff are super creative in their skill sets. One of them happened to be a seamstress. And that's what they did for 40 years. We found out, we quickly worked together, got a design to make masks. We've made thousands of masks and redistributed them out back to the community for free. Every week we give out 1,000 masks to folks in the community, people in the church, those that are in need. We actually had public officials calling us. That we don't have enough masks in the city. Can you make masks and give them to our elected officials? And we did, of course, right? I think those things are ways in which leaders see an opportunity and they work together to figure out where the resources are at to help address the challenge and turn challenge into triumph, right? That's what we've done. That's what we've managed to do. And this is definitely unsafe. So we've done this in ways that made sure all of our staff, all of our volunteers are feeling very safe, feeling, you know, very protected, even in our environment. It's actually happened in a way where our county partners and those that are kind of signing off on essential facilities have signed off on ours and said, you guys are essential facility. Continue what you're doing. We need that service within our community. Those are a few things we've done thus far and some other things that, you know, we're looking forward to doing, as we know. And I don't feel free to weigh in, Coach Adams, because I could go and go and go about what the church is doing currently.
Oh, I am loving it. You know, I'm loving it. And it's so important, all of what you shared, because what I was hearing, and we spoke about this at the top of the call, that it's about leaning in. And you have truly, as a church body, you have done what you've needed to do to pivot at this crucial time. And in that pivoting, of course, your vision has not changed. Your vision and heart for the community has not changed. Your strategies have had to be adjusted because of the dynamics of what we're dealing with. And I love that you brought out that point. That's what leaders do. A great leader recognizes that I have to address the challenges and turn these challenges into not defeat, but victory. I'm saying that in my own way. So I was just soaking it all in because it's so key. You know, we know the news media has its agenda, and I know you all were featured in the news today, but the news media has its agenda. And generally speaking, they're not sharing all of this type of work that's going on in the communities, in the trenches. And that's why I felt so compelled to have you on the show and to share, because I knew that your leadership truly is relevant in this time when many would say that the leadership is lacking. And on so many levels, it is. Come on, let's be real. But we need to highlight those that are emerging and rising up and doing what is needful. Wow, right, that was right, so right. rich. I have to ask you. Absolutely. You deserve the kudos, you and your community and your church body and all of those that serve with you deserve the kudos and the praise for the great God work that you're doing in your region. I have to ask you, you know, we spoke about obviously the various things beyond COVID. What do you feel is different at this time? Do you sense that this is a different time for some of these issues and challenges that we're having?
Yeah, I feel the difference is the urgency to address them and the fact that in many cases they've not been addressed in a way that is felt, in a way that is saving. As we say, one of the terms we use, we have to create a space where all boats float. In many cases, in vulnerable communities, communities of color, black and brown communities, our boat has not floated all the way. It's needed a lot of help. There's been some equity needed. I think where we are now is folks are saying we have to have change, right? When we look at the fact of COVID disproportionately impacting black and brown communities due to multiple reasons. As a result, for us, we decided we would become a COVID testing site. And so in the coming weeks, our facility will be, a portion of our facility will be a COVID testing site. Actually, it will be the only one within the community. And to continually meet those needs within the community. But when we hear things like that, when we are faced with the constant threat of and challenge of just police brutality and racism, people are saying change has to come. And then when you see the impact of it on social media, and now that folks have been sheltered in place, you have access to social media more frequently. You check your Facebook feed, your Twitter feed, all these different media outlets constantly from the moment you wake up till the moment you go to bed. So you're inundated with all of these floods of information. And I think there's a consciousness that has awakened that says enough is enough. We can do better, right? The next phase of what will happen is articulating what the steps are needed to make the change that's needed in our communities. What we've seen is a reaction, kind of like that Moses moment back in Exodus chapter 2 or so, when Moses had just grown up and he was going to visit his people, is what the passage says. Moses was spending a little bit of time with some of his Hebrew brothers and sisters. And he saw one of the Egyptian guards, two of them, slaying one of his brothers. And Moses' knee-jerk reaction was to rise up and strike him down. And when he did, you know, he thought he was like the savior at that moment. And then the next day he showed up to his people and he realized right then that, you know, he doesn't wear a cape. He can't be the savior. And he fled. He spent that time with Jethro. And when he spent that time with Jethro tending to his sheep, one passage says Moses was tending to a sheep and he looked aside. It was a burning bush burning. And out of the burning bush, he began to cry out. God began to speak out of the burning bush. Let me unpack that just a little bit for us. I believe the bush was always burning. It was waiting for Moses to show up. It was waiting for him to turn aside and look at it. And at that very moment, God began to speak out. We have been having burning bushes for generations. We can look at movement after movement, the civil rights movement, multiple different movements, the housing market crashing and disproportionately impacting our communities. We can look at where we are now, right? There's these burning bushes that, as I say, all of creation, the word says, all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. This is that moment that we hear, we see, and we respond, and then we articulate, we declare the path forward, right? That's what prophets do. We've been chaplains too long of an empire. It's time to be prophets that speak to the changes that are necessary to create a space where all boats float. That's enough.
I love that.
I preached up a little bit, right?
Yes, absolutely. But of course, I'm speaking to a pastor, so I was anticipating the preach on coming at any moment.
Right.
You're sharing some great richness. You know, as we spoke about leaning into the moment in front of us and understanding that this is a great moment for reform, what do you see are some of the tangible things that we can do? Because obviously, the reality is when we speak the language of the kingdom, we've been out of order. We're out of order. And so there is a need for, quote unquote, reform, for us to be put back into place, redemption. In this time, what are some tangible steps that you see that we can do as a leader to be relevant in this time that to accomplish that?
Right. Well, as a leader, there are multiple platforms I think we as leaders have to be able to articulate a path forward. I use my platform in the pulpit. I use media. I use social media to really create a path forward, one of peace, one of that brings everybody together, and one that saves lives. When we talk about the reform needed, let's just say, for example, in police departments, at one point I was the police commission chair for the city of Sacramento. My job was to foster both community and police trust while holding law enforcement accountable in challenging situations, right? One of the things that we talked about that should happen and needed to happen was use of force policy, really making it so certain practices couldn't be done, certain tactics couldn't be done. We lifted up this acronym of HEAT, hiring, equipment, accountability, and training. Just take those four areas. If there was emphasis put on hiring and hiring from the community, ensuring that law enforcement entities reflect the cultural demographics of the communities that they serve, it would change a lot within our communities. If we ensured that every law enforcement officer had equipment that was used to de-escalate situations and were trained on properly how to use that equipment, that it would also save lives. And then we also know that if there's accountability to these trainings and practices, that at the end of the day say, hey, if I do that, you know, I'm crossing the line and this is what happens, it would also really change things. And then, you know, the training aspect of cultural bias and implicit bias and cultural competency, and trainings on, you know, calling out to someone, giving them verbal warnings and making that a policy before they go into a foot pursuit. And see, here in the city of Sacramento, we're coming off of 2 years of really action and protest related to Stephon Clark, that I was actively involved in that. And a lot of policy recommendations and ideas came as a result of that as well. Actually, one of the biggest reforms in the state, we call it the Stephon Clark bill on use of force, came in the state of California as a result of the death of Stephon Clark and the action and advocacy related to Sacramentans at that time. And the bill, the current, before that came in place, they were working off of a policy that was put in power in 1876. That's how long they have been working with the current use of force policy. I just think something created in 1876 could use a lot of updating. And
I agree with you, Les. It definitely could use some updating. Great point.
Right? So we put a lot of advocacy and a lot of work into that, and we have something better now. But, of course, this moment we're in says we need to go further. Those are some of the ways that policy and changes can happen right now as it relates to law enforcement and community.
You know, I absolutely love the acronym that you just shared, HEAT, hiring, equipment, accountability, and training. And you really did take us on a journey to give some clear, tangible steps of execution that need to take place for us to move through and get on the other side and there truly to be change. You know, it is amazing how quickly time flies. I would love to take this time to open up our phone lines. You've given so much richness. I'm sure we may have some questions or comments around what you've shared. So let's take a couple of calls if we can. I want our audience to know that this is the time in our program when we invite you to share in the discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue to ask a question or make a comment around today's discussion on leadership that's relevant. If you're sitting in front of your electronic device, you do need to dial in. The call-in number is 516-453-9374. 516-453-9374. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. And, you know, we'll give our callers an opportunity if they want to jump in to do so. What would you say is next for Les Simmons and the work that you're doing, the awesome work that you're doing? What's on the horizon?
Well, I think first, you know, I'm really focusing on my family as well, and my son, who is like, I think we're like all of our kids, like what's next, especially ones that promoted into from high school to college and many from college to now work, right? So it is to first ensure that they have a clear path and could see clear. One of the things I was really teaching on this past week is that, and affirming that, the things that are set, let them be set in our spirit. And the things that we are kind of questioned, and my prayer is that we would be centered on. And so my job as a parent is to make sure that my kids, my children, that still set things that they have, they can begin to walk them out. And then the things that are questionable, like, am I going to live on campus? Or am I going to stay at home? That we help them be centered. So that's number one. I think those are important, especially as leaders. We could really take some time to really focus on, you know, our churches, our businesses, our communities, but our families, especially in this time, need us and need that backbone of leadership to help pull us through. The second thing is
so
creating
the greatest ministry starts at home, you know, and I love that you brought it to that core central point of family being numero uno. We do have a caller, so we'll just put a pause there and we'll reconnect with that. Okay. But we will take our caller, area code 972. Last 4 digits, 3507. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams and our in-studio guest, Les Simmons. What's your question or comment?
Well, thank you, Coach, for taking my call this evening. And I just, I've just been elated and inspired by Pastor Simmons' dialogue tonight. It's just been uplifting and inspiring. I always say that everything rises and falls on the leadership, and you have certainly demonstrated to us this evening by the course you took at the beginning of the coronavirus and the different crisis situation, and even it sounds like the protesters. So I just want to thank you for that. Also, Coach Adams always demonstrates to those that she mentors and coach about, she shows us this bowl of lemons. And she always says, if there's, you know, if you're being served some lemons, make some lemonade. And so I just commend you for your service, all that you're doing in your community. And it seems like you have not left anyone out, and I commend you for that. I have a question. Looking at every nation that has been a part of the protesting all over the world in reference to George Floyd. I've seen so many young people being a part of the history. My question is, you as a leader, do you have an insight on what can be done to bring these young people forward, to keep them motivated, not only to vote, but to sit in the on the different boards and communities, and like you're there with the police and getting them involved in their communities? Do you have any suggestions or even plans to maybe mentor some of these young people, take them in, you know, because you're interested, it seems, in that community leading and the politics of the community as a council person, you know, going in as the candidate that you were. So what are your thoughts on that? Help me to help yeah. the young people in my community.
Right, right. Thank you for the question, and thank you for calling in. Let me speak to just two things. One, one of my mentors, Angela Glover Blackwell, stated this. She said, respect the protesters because out of protest comes policy change. If you have the ability to listen to what they're saying. One of the things we did after, and I've been involved in now numerous major kind of national moments, from Ferguson and Michael Brown back in 2014 to multiple ones here in the city of Sacramento, including Stephon Clark. And I found myself showing up at every single protest, every single action, and whether I was leading it or whether I was there to support the young folks on the ground leading it. But one of the things I did was listen. I listened to what they were saying the problems were. And in this moment, I think what we have the opportunity to do, because of so many passionate youth and young folks that are out there, we have the opportunity to listen and then to lift their concerns and their voices high and use our platforms to do it. So we've created listening spaces, virtual town halls to elevate their voice and then to support the change that they can help really define and communicate. And maybe our role is to help articulate, but we get it from them, right? And as much as that as possible that we can do in our communities, these kids are dreaming big of what the opportunities that need to happen, the change that needs to happen. And in my case, you know, I had family and parents that when I dreamed big, I had Coach Al Hollingsworth at one point too saying, dream big. I could hear his voice. Let's dream big. Right, we are to help empower that dream, to help lift that dream and not stifle it, not stop it. These kids all around the world see opportunity for change. The reason they see it, because all around the world they've been dealing with the same thing. We can be world changers. That's what this moment can produce right now. I've never seen anything like it. As I said, I've been in multiple movements. I've never seen anything quite like what we're seeing now with advocacy, with all races showing up, all cultures showing up and saying, we this is not just talk, Pastor. This is not just, you know, another movement. We have to have change. So our job, again, is to bring people together, to help cultivate what that change sounds like and be able to articulate, and then bring it to elected officials and hold them accountable to that change. And in many cases, if they don't, then we empower some of those same young folks and community leaders to become the new elected officials, new policymakers, new leaders. That's what can happen in this very moment we're living in.
Wellness. I thank you so much for that, and I trust that caller's question got answered. I'm going to pause there. I want to make sure that your question was answered, and I thank you for engaging with us.
This is Dr. Holliday. I'm calling from Dallas, and I did hear an answer in there. I'm an associate of one of the county commissioners here, and what you've just given to me is what I want to present to the county commissioner here. You may know John Wally Price in Dallas. Everybody usually knows him from around the USA. But he believes that the major issue in our community is justice, that justice needs to be set for our race of people in our communities. You talked about that supermarket. That was one of the things we recently spoke about. There are certain sections that there are no supermarkets for our people to shop at. They have to drive 15 to 20 miles out of the way. So you gave me an idea that I'm going to present to the county commissioner here is to set up some type of a junior commissioner's court, if you might call it that, and invite the young people in there that they're able to study and learn from their experience. Thank you, Coach, for taking my call this evening.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Holliday, for being here and such a rich question. And, you know, Les, I have to tell you, wow, I must say that the Sacramento City Council, they are so fortunate, District 8, to have you. They will be so fortunate to have you because when you shared what you shared about, it's important to listen and lift the concerns. And not only listening and lifting the concerns so that the voices can be heard, we can elevate the voices and support with change. And I think that that's so key because a lot of the young people have turned away from the churches, for example, because they don't see, quote unquote, the signs and wonders, meaning they don't see any change, any manifestation of things. And so your approach is so key because that is a way to draw them in. Let their voices be heard. So, wow, I thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sitting here like, woo, I have all these notes. You know, as we, it's so amazing how quickly the time flies by. We are approaching that time in our broadcast. And I really, because one of the things that I must say and honor you for is you truly are modeling people need to be. You truly are a great model, and all of what you've shared, you are modeling what we need to be as leaders and bringing forth leadership that is relevant. Any closing thoughts that you would have to our global listening audience who are listening in, any, you know, just thoughts of hope or whatever it may be, greatest lesson you've learned, whatever you want to share as we prepare to wind down and close out today's installment.
Right. So for any pastors or community-based organization leaders out there, the moment that's in front of us is a major opportunity for us to be relevant and challenging times. Our youth actually within our ministry, these young kids know technology in ways we are. It's going to take us light years to learn. Our youth are the ones running all of our live stream, all of our cameras, all of our editing for all of our services. These kids jumped on board really early, and they know technology, and they're connecting in a powerful way. So I would encourage you to really empower them and create, as Coach Adams, you said, we are on the highway of life. Create an on-ramp for them to jump on that highway and support the collective and shared vision of both you and them and the organization. And secondly, I think this moment, many of us are trying to find ways to plug into and asking, what is my part in protesting, or what is my part in helping our community get through? I have always been grounded with this question. I got this from a good friend of mine named Ben McBride. I'm asking in my prayer time, I'm asking this. I'm saying, God, who do I need to become, right? Who do I need to become to be relevant in this moment? Who do I need to become to be the leader you called me to be? I think that can be a daily kind of declaration and prayer and reflection time with you and the Lord. The third thing that I just want to leave as we close is I'm asking in my prayer and reflection time, God, help me see, help me hear, and then help me do, right? Those three things, help me see, help me hear, help me do. Those things will get us on the right path to live out the best life, to live out our calling, and to be relevant in challenging and tough times. Thank you so much for this time. I've enjoyed our hour together. I pray that this just time just encouraged, motivated, and uplifted anyone and everyone that's listening.
Well, I must say I have gotten so much out of our time of sharing, and I can't thank you enough for just coming and sowing into each and every one of us as we continue to process through this season that we're in. You know, we may have, because we do have a global listening audience, we may have individuals that are in the Sacramento area. How would they get in touch with you if they want to make that connection with the work that you're doing, maybe with South Sacramento Christian Center? What does that look like?
Right. So you can go to SouthSacramentoChristianCenter.org, and our website will come up. There's multiple ways you can learn what's happening and plug into the ministry there. You can look me up on any social media platform, Facebook for Les Simmons, on Twitter as well. My Twitter handle is Les Simmons, and then on Instagram. And you can connect with us. We look forward to partnering together and just continuing to do, you know, this precious work of building beloved community and investing into the kingdom of God in a way that's tangible and felt. So looking forward to connecting with anyone that's listening and wanting to reach out.
And I thank you again so much. And I want to share to our global listening audience, don't lose focus on your goals. I know it's a difficult time, but you have to ask yourself this as we close out. What are you doing differently to get greater results in this season of difficulty? And, of course, for those that are regular listeners, you know that Coach Adams has a full circle of empowerment to support you. If you want more information, just simply visit my website at coachadams.com, coachadams.com, or you may give our team a call at 310-289-2101, 310-289-2101. And I will leave you with this, and I pull this from Les Simmons. Are you becoming the person that you need to be, and what does that look like? I think that's something to really process around as we continue to navigate through these seasons of difficulty. Thank you for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams. Signing off for now, we look forward to having you join us next week for our Shape Up series. I coach and you win.